the Port of Astoria is now meeting. I'd like to welcome everybody here, and would you please join me for the roll call?
Commissioner McLean.
Present.
Commissioner Spence.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
And Commissioner Roan.
Here. We'll now have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioner reports. We'll start out with Commissioner McLean.
I attended the CEDAR, Clatsop Economic Development Board meeting on last Wednesday, Tuesday, whenever. For my first time, I'm the freshman board councilman there under Chairman Roan. Very interesting meeting. We had good reports from the Astoria, Warrenton, and Seaside school districts on their construction, reconstruction, new construction, on their building and seismic upgrades and stuff. Very educational meeting, and I was honored to be part of that. And there must have been 40 different entities there, well, 40 different people there, probably 25 different entities. Very educational. I'm gonna end at that.
Thank you. Commissioner Spence.
What he said.
Commissioner.
I attended the CEDAR too, and it was very interesting.
Commissioner Campbell.
Well, interesting enough, you know, there's been very little said about it, but the federal government has put a lot of money into the ports and harbors for distribution, and it isn't really going away that fast. I think if you look out here at the Columbia River Bar, you'll see that the North Jetty has just been completed, and the contract's out for the South Jetty. That's going to represent somewhere around $250 million of that fund. So we're getting a lot of money into the lower Columbia here from the federal government.
Very interesting. Commissioner Stevens.
Nothing to report.
And I don't have anything to add this time, so we'll move on to public changes and additions to the agenda. I'd like to move status of executive director employment as the first action item, and we'll call it double A. Are there any other additions or changes to the agenda?
The resolution, Mr. Chairman.
That's A.
Oh, I see. It's listed. It says resolution number 2019-12.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve as I suggested?
So move.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, agenda is approved. Moving on to public comment for items on the agenda. This is an opportunity to speak to the commission for 3 minutes regarding any item on the agenda. Those wishing to speak must fill out a public comment form. Do we have any forms? Thank you. Consent calendar. The next item, we have the meeting minutes of September 3rd for the regular session. Is there a motion to approve? The consent.
So moved.
I have comments. I have a correction or input, whatever you want.
Okay.
Motion on the floor before discussion.
Motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion. Commissioner McLean.
I've noticed in this particular one, there's several referrals to names of staff members or contractors. There's a Mary, there's a Janice, there's a Will, there's a Mr. Isom, there's a this, that. We need to unify that possibly put their title of why they're there. I bring this up because, according to Robert's Rules of Order, even those future commissioners not even born yet have the right to change our minutes now, so it would help future commissions know who we're talking about. I think that would be important.
Okay, I think if, as long as they're non-substantive, we can make those sort of corrections that
I think it's a more procedural for the future.
Noted for the record. Have a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The first item that we have on the under our advisory section is here with us, we're fortunate to have from Special Districts, George Dunkel. And welcome, George Dunkel. And he's going to share with the public the evaluation that he's been working on for the Port of Astoria.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, my name is George Dunkel. I'm a Special District Association of Oregon. At the request of the commission, we conducted a 360 survey on Will Isom as the interim executive director. We worked with the commission on developing a list of 40 plus members of the community, stakeholders, staff, commissioners, and collaborators, cooperators from throughout the area that worked with the port. We contacted over 40. We got 21 responses back over a approximately 2 week period that we had the survey open. The survey comes back as a confidential document because it was a performance evaluation on the executive director, interim executive director. We presented that to you in executive session. And for all of you that are here, those results came back very positive. The response from those that responded that he more than meets expectations and in many areas was distinguished and commendable. The areas that we looked at in question format and asked for comments was leadership. What type of leadership did he display? Communications, how did he communicate not only internally with staff, but externally with those that he'd been working with? Understanding that this is a period of a little over 5 months that he's been in the position. The work habits that he displays, the management principles and practices that he practiced and displayed. Of course, one that was fairly easy, his familiarity with the budget and finance as the former and current finance officer. And then, of course, collaboration, not only with the commission, but with those tenants and stakeholders that you work with. We thought it was the results came back, again, very favorably. We thought it was a pretty fair analysis and a good representation, as we did get good response from all the different segments that we reached out to survey. That's really what it was, and I'll take any questions, or but for anybody that was interested, it is a confidential, it is an evaluation, but the results were very favorable.
It's not always typical to have this sort of presentation made, but I felt it was important for the public to know that after 5 months of being on the job, that a thorough evaluation was undertaken of our acting executive director for everyone's benefit. And any other commissioners have any comments they'd like to share about the evaluation? I thought it was a thorough and a fair evaluation. The special districts conducted that. It was confidential, so to the extent that we didn't know who the who was responding how necessarily, I felt, in my opinion, I think that stakeholders, in terms of state stakeholders, I think they've been, I don't know from the this evaluation, but in general, I think they've been very pleased with the Port of Astoria under Will Isom's direction, and we may have a bright future working together with the state in the future. So, and any other commissioners?
Yeah, I think one thing that needs to be said, though, in the 4 years Will has been here, we've noticed a remarkable change in the accounting department, the finance department. And having said that, I think for the last 2 years, Will has turned in a perfect audit. When the auditors from the state come in by law and audit the books, we had no discrepancies whatsoever. So So I think that's a good thing, you know, for to have an accountant on board that can straighten the mess out that we had 5 years ago. So thank you, Will.
Mr. Chair, if I could just add one thing.
Please.
I do want to commend the commission and Will for the cooperation and the assistance in putting that together. As the commission will know, we put that together fairly quickly, and it went some of it we did over a holiday period, and it went very well, and thanks to your cooperation.
No, thank you. Thank you for all your hard work and
thanks,
also
George.
That of your
thank
staff
you.
And special districts at large.
Thank you.
That under action items, we had a change made prior to the adoption of the agenda for concerning the status of the executive director employment. That I'd open the floor up for any motions or such.
Well, Mr. President, I'd like to move that we appoint Will Eesom as executive director, contingent upon an acceptable negotiation of a contract.
I'll move and second it.
Okay, there's been a move, motion and a second to extend an offer of a more permanent status. Could you reread that, please?
I'd like to move that we appoint Will Eesom as executive director, contingent upon acceptable negotiation of a contract.
I'll allow the commissioners to discuss. Is there any additional discussion? I think we are all very pleased with the work that Will has done for the port under very difficult circumstances. And even though there didn't seem to be much hope, it seems like there is some now. I'm sure if we're very careful in 10 years from now, the port will be very successful. So.
Yeah, just a slight comment, Mr. Chairman. Not that our silence says anything, we have had an executive session and going over the survey and 360 completely, which has been outstanding or commendable, and I certainly support the action that we're going to take. I was on the Finance Committee for 3 years before I got elected to the commission, and he will be the third commissioner that I've that I've worked with, and he has certainly brought the finances of the port into being correct and proper, and taking over and correcting, as Commissioner Campbell said, the mess from a before, and it took two auditing firms 2 years to straighten the books out. So he has done a commendable job as finance director, and we look forward to continued leadership and direction as executive director of the port. I support the motion.
And much of the discussion we had in executive session revolved around the evaluation that was done. So I think we're all very satisfied with the results, as a result of that. All those, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. That requires us to have a negotiation process that we'll need to move forward with. Is there a motion on the floor for that process? Commissioner Stevens.
I move that we authorize two commissioners to work with SDAO to negotiate a proposed contract.
You'd like to specify those two commissioners?
I believe the president should be one of those for sure.
Okay, I would.
I would
request as the chair and vice chair, I think myself and Commissioner Stevens would work well with special districts to help negotiate that contract. Does that sound agreeable?
I agree with that.
Yes.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any additional discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 No, we're not done with George yet, so.
Thank you. My roots are here, so I did it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
I really
George.
Appreciate all your hard work, and we'll have more work ahead of us.
Yes.
And it's our hope that hopefully, I believe our next meeting is December 17th, and hopefully we'll be able to have a full contract for the board to review prior to that meeting, and hopefully we'll have that conversation and vote on that date. So thank you very much, Special Districts, for your assistance. The next item has to do with the Port of Astoria Commission meetings times, and there's a resolution in front of you. I'll ask for the motion.
I move that the commission approve resolution number 2019-12, a resolution amending Port of Astoria bylaws to allow for flexibility of time and location of commission meetings.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Motion to pass resolution 2019-12, a resolution amending Port of Astoria bylaws to allow flexibility of time and location of commission meetings. And further down in our bylaw change, it would read, the regular meetings of the commission will be held on the first and third Tuesday of each month at the Port Boardroom at the time proposed by the commission president and approved by a majority vote of the commission. A majority of the commission may approve an alternative location for a meeting at any time, provided all public meeting requirements are met for the change location, including but not limited to public notice requirements as described in paragraph 5.7 of these bylaws. In terms of discussion, a maker motion wish to discuss?
Part of this, yes, discussion.
Let's start with Commissioner Spence. Okay. You wish to discuss?
No, I just read it by title only. Okay. as a motion to approve resolution number 20.
I'd like to discuss. This is an opportunity for people to show up after work, and we've been provided with additional material in our packets showing the frequency of meetings of other ports and different organizations, and it's my hope that this should pass and that we would have our regular meeting at 5:30, and then if additional meeting is required, that we would meet at 4 o'clock later in the month if needed, and that would create an opportunity for public input once a month.
Well, say that again.
The idea is to have, I would, if this passes, it's my hope to suggest a regular meeting time of 5:30,
okay,
for one meeting a month, and that if we need a second meeting during the course of the month, that we would meet at 4 o'clock.
In other words,
we'll approve this motion, Mr.
Yeah, we'll approve this motion first,
then you bring
and then
up
we can,
your motion.
This just gives us flexibility,
okay,
in our bylaws.
Okay, flexibility,
so
all right.
Any other conversation on the resolution?
Just comment.
Okay, please.
One of the items we did at our last meeting, which was held down in Seaside, when I was out knocking on doors, a lot of people said, you know, it's always an inconvenient time for the public. So I propose a couple meetings ago, we have one down in Seaside. I was actually hoping to have one out at Jewell High School, but didn't quite make it that far. A bit to involve the other parts of the county. And I think this is a really good idea to allow us the flexibility to get outside our footprint here, to get into the footprint of our constituents.
Concur.
Is there any other discussion? For this to be adopted, we'll have to have a roll call vote.
Well, I think we need to be careful. I mean, everybody's conscious of the transparency atmosphere that goes on with the port, and you start chasing these meetings around different places, they're not going to be in the habit of going to Seaside or Warrenton or wherever you decide to have. We have a designated place to have these meetings, and that's where it should be, is for our business offices.
I mostly agree. This just gives us the flexibility, if the chair should choose with a majority vote of the commission, to change the time or the location but. In principle, I agree wholeheartedly with
yeah.
your comment.
I agree.
So, With that, may we have a roll call vote?
Chairman, just a reminder to the commission that this is a change to the bylaws, so it will require a supermajority, so four of the five commissioners must vote in favor. So Commissioner McLean?
Yes.
Commissioner Spence?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
And Commissioner Rome?
Yes. Very good. Okay, resolution number 2019-12 has been adopted, which would, I would ask for a motion to have our meeting times at once a month at 5:30, and if an additional meeting is required, we'd have it at 4 o'clock. Would somebody say so moved?
I don't like that. I think that the public needs to have a standard time in which to show up. I think that's wrong.
Acting Executive Director Will Isom has provided you a document showing the frequency of meetings.
Yeah, I know, I read it.
What's that?
I can see it here.
So it's my opinion, based on conversations that I've had with Will Isom, is that we can accomplish the majority of our work at one meeting. And if we need to have an additional meeting, then I think it's the 4 o'clock meeting would be fine in that capacity. But public criticism has been that people should be afforded the opportunity to participate, and it's my opinion that a 5:30 meeting time would be accommodating that. It may not change the outcome when we have our meetings, but we could try. And then if nobody comes, then, and the people who have requested the time change don't come, then, well, we can certainly change it back.
Well, we don't have a newspaper to speak of anymore. I mean, the paper gets there sometimes 2 days late. So how are people supposed to know?
Well, it's publicly noticed through various outlets, and it generally will be we'll have a set time of 5:30 once a month, and I think that will be clear, and if necessary, we'll have a second meeting. So
Mr. Chairman,
the paper, it does go out three times a week, and we send our public meeting notices to many different venues. So
Mr. Chairman, if you would amend your motion to have it effective January 2nd, 2020, as the error shows, that would settle the time that our next meeting, which is the contract approval, will be at the regular time.
At 4 o'clock.
Yes, but if you have amended yours, that changes would be effective at the date of our next regular meeting, which is January 7, 2020, then I would support your motion.
Okay, I wasn't making the motion, I was asking for a motion. So
okay.
If you're willing to make the motion, it can be as you specified. So you want to make that motion?
I'll make a motion that beginning January 7th, 2020, that the first commission meeting of the month starting time be at 5:30 p.m.
And that if an additional meeting is required, then we'll...
5 p.m.? Now we change
5:30. No, he said...
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Yeah, that's a start, and we'll address it at that time if we're going to need a second meeting, and what time the second meeting in January would have to be held.
Yep.
That's the way I look at it. But with that intent... But that will get us started on the first meeting of the new date.
Commissioner Stevens.
I think the additional flexibility cannot harm us. If there's a market out there for us to appear in different parts of the county, we should do it. I visited some of the groups in Cannon Beach a couple of times and listened to them, and you know, there's kind of an attitude that I detected of like, what do we care about the Port of Astoria? Then they listened to us and started asking questions, and I think we opened some eyes. if we go somewhere and there's nobody there, well, then we learn not to go there. And the same thing with the times. I don't think we're going to waste an effort by adding flexibility to our schedule. I'll support the measure. See what turns up.
I agree.
Well, I think we got two newspapers, too.
Did you receive a second, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I believe so, from Mr. McLean. Commissioner McLean, did you second that? Okay, any additional discussion? Okay.
Read the motion.
The motion has to do with the regular meeting starting January 7th, 2020, will be at 5:30. At that time, if it's determined that we need a second meeting, we'll meet at 4 p.m. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion passes. Our next, Mr. Cobes, our next item has to do with the approval and authorization to execute two grant agreements with Oregon Department of Aviation.
You should have copies of two grants from Oregon Department of Aviation. They were nominally awarded earlier this year, but they're issued after the FAA grants are issued because they're matching grants for the FAA grant. And we received our first grant for the taxiway project in early August, and the grant for the apron rehabilitation phase one in very late September of this year. So you have both grant documents before you. The one that's matched for taxiway alpha is in the amount of $150,000, and the match amount for the apron rehabilitation project is $75,000. And those are basically maximum amounts because it's tied to 7.5% of the amounts paid by the federal government up to the base amount of the grant. So conceivably those numbers could be a little bit less, but that's basically, I'm sure that on the taxiway alpha project we'll consume the whole 150. On the apron project might be a little bit under 75,000. The standard document, we've executed it once before. First grant, matching grant, was for AIP 22, and that's still an active grant. So request that you approve Director Rice in signing the two documents.
So under next steps, it says execute and return to the Oregon Department of Aviation the documents and require as required. Also, the port's attorney, is that an adequate motion?
Yes.
Someone want to make that motion?
So move.
Is there?
Second.
Second. Are there any additional questions or comments?
Yes.
Commissioner Spence.
The question of the token, how many millions of dollars will this now bring in because we're able to come up with this match? These two together, how many millions of dollars are we looking at?
$900,000 on the apron rehabilitation project phase one, and about $3,300,000 on the taxiway alpha project.
Good investment.
Yeah.
Thank you. I guess a follow-up question with the finance director. Funds are available in the current budget?
Yeah, so to be clear on this, this grant money is for projects that have already been approved that we have federal money coming in for. And so this grant money is just going to offset what we typically would have to put in for a match. And so this only helps us. There's really no downside. This is just covering a portion of the match that we don't get from the FAA.
Which is excellent news. Commissioner McLean.
As I read this, I came across a couple of dates that I'm confused on. One of which is in the print under effective date under terms of agreement, it mentions a February 12th date. And then there's an August 12th date in there. So what is the effective date of the taxiway project? Which is really a leading question to, in paragraph 12, no, I'm sorry, paragraph 8 in reporting milestones. If we're reporting monthly on or before the 15th of each month on the project, are we current on those monthly reports, or are we behind the game already? Is one of my questions. Are we up to speed on the reporting, on those milestone reportings, if we're just now getting this? Second question.
Maybe let him answer the first question.
Okay.
The award of grant was dated February 12th this year. They award all the grants in the core grant program on a certain date, and it generally falls in February or early March. So that's the February date that you observed in there. The grant that's matching was an August grant. One was an August grant, one is a September grant. And we don't have an obligation to report until the grant is executed, so we're not behind on the reporting, and it's a online reporting system that's done on a monthly basis.
Okay. Which sort of eliminates my next question. So moving on to paragraph 11, a special warranty of recipients to maintain and operate the airport and segregate income. I just want to bring up the fact that if the airport goes into a special district, this contract says if this condition is not met, the recipient, the port, shall immediately reimburse ODA all grant funds. So as a warning out there, if the airport decides to go into a special district, we need to tie in that release of the airport with these funds somehow. I just need to.
You'll never live to see that.
Good. I just.
We're wasting our time talking about that.
I might be thinking about taking the airport over.
Want to do some golf?
Yeah.
I'm just reading the contract.
That's excellent.
It says we as support are required to immediately pay that. So
if just a comment, if the airport were to be made part of a separate special district, it would be through negotiation with the Federal Aviation Administration, Oregon Department of Aviation. We've got obligations under our federal grants that would have to be transferred, mm-hmm. or would remain with the port partially. There's a lot of unknowns there, and there are far more restrictive assurances in the federal grants than there are in the state. So that would be one of a laundry list of things we would have to resolve in the process.
Okay.
Any other questions, Mr. Stevens?
I just want to say we owe the airport manager round of thanks for seeing these things through, and as you can see, he has a full understanding of how to do these things and manage them, and how the funding for them works with the time delay. Thanks, Gary.
Yes.
Any other questions or comments? Move on to a vote then. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Thank you very much, Gary, our airport director. Our next item, page 46 of your packet, has to be personal and professional service agreement with Bruce Connor. I'll turn it over to Pat McGrath.
Good evening, commissioners. What you have before you is a revised professional services agreement that we went back and forth with Eileen Eakins to close up some of the legal requirements that were missing in the original contract. The last contract that was signed between the port and Bruce Connor was back in 2014. Since then, we've had the ethics complaint, and there were a few other minor tweaks that were made in the form of scopes of service, what work was going to be done, what was not going to be done. And the biggest change that council made was the insertion of a conflicts of interest clause, as you'll see within page one. And that clearly delineates what Bruce is to be doing, what he's not to be doing, and if there are any potential conflicts of interest, he has to steer away from anything that may potentially benefit him. And as I understand it, one of the things that Bruce has been doing is communicating with staff anytime there's a potential conflict of interest. He'll let staff know as to what that potential may be, and then directs that information to staff so that they can then pick up with any of the people that he's negotiating with. So,
are those written down, those potential conflicts? Or is he noting those? Is that noted for a record?
Yes.
Okay.
He's been emailing those.
Okay.
So, and again, this was one of those things that the findings came out from the Ethics Commission. We wanted to make sure that everything was on the up and up as far as a contract goes. So, what you see before you again is something that has been completely vetted by our attorney, and so what I'm looking for tonight is just get it signed and get it under his hands so we can go about promoting the court.
Commissioners, any questions, comments?
Who prepared it? Their attorney looked at this?
Correct.
I'll move that we approve the professional services agreement between the Port of Astoria and S. Bruce Connor, an individual contractor.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve this agreement. Are there any additional questions or comments? Commissioner McLean.
Yes. Third paragraph down, it talks about a 1 year with automatic extensions and 6 month periods. And there's apparently no end date for this forever.
It's meant to be a working document, but the agreement can be canceled on 30 days notice from the court.
Mm-hmm. Is there any, I have a concern of this open end stuff. It is my thought that this position might be better served by someone not as closely tied in with the port as Mr. Connor. It looks to me like someone with a master's degree in business or that's in Portland or Seattle or St. Paul could do this effectively and not have any potential conflicts. That way he would treat everybody fairly, that he or she would treat everybody fairly versus even have the appearance of impropriety of any favoritism. That's one of my concerns. And I would really like to see a milestone to say we will do, call it a 360 review or anything, every 4 years to say, you know, has there been any potential conflicts that we had to readdress? Has there been any, you know, I don't like the open-endedness. He's had this position for a while.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that the contract does stipulate that you can negate the contract within 30 days' notice. If there is any impropriety, if there's a different direction that the commission would like to go, then it can be canceled in 30 days. So the open-ended nature of this is just meant to keep it as a low maintenance contract. I don't have to bring it before the commission every 6 months or every year. It's just meant to be able to keep him operating as the marketing director until the board decides to go in a different direction.
Okay. Halfway down on page 2, contractors free to contract with other parties on other matters before or for the duration of this agreement. I have a concern that if he is representing Astoria and representing Eureka, Humboldt Bay, wherever down there, and Cruise West and stuff, and he goes down to the annual cruise host or cruise meeting in Miami, that he could potentially, or anyone could potentially, according to this, bill all three entities he's representing for the entire cost individually. There is potential for that. I would like to see if he's representing other people at a conference that we are sending him to represent us, that he solely represents us or lets us know up front, and if he's representing others, that we cost share his trip. I'm not sure if that...
Do you know what he does in Miami?
No, but I would love to go in there.
You know, his job down there is to get these ships steered into here so they'll stop here. He's selling the port. That's primarily his trip down there, is to schedule the ships into Astoria.
Mm-hmm. But if he's scheduling Astoria, if he's scheduling the other people, I think...
He's doing what?
If he's scheduling Astoria and he's scheduling other ports or other entities...
Well, I don't think that's the case. He's down there on our business.
Is he solely down there on our business?
Yes.
Then we would...
You're into presumptions and assumptions. And the two words that get people in trouble the most is presume and assume. And until facts come forward, which they have in effect, and have been addressed by the Ethics Commission, and they've handed it down, then this is a resolution to clarify. The proof of the pudding in his efforts is the fact that next year we will have a record 33 cruise ships coming in here. This represents millions of dollars, not only to the port, to this county, to the state of Oregon. So, wearing another hat, I'm also a cruise host, the board of cruise hosts, working closely with him. And we greet all the passengers coming in and throughout the city and welcoming passengers. The proof of the pudding is we've been rated the friendliest port on the West Coast. Nobody else has cruise hosts to greet them and guide them around. And we are the friendliest city along their route. So I like success stories, and I've seen it. I've worked with him probably the 6 years I've been here. And I believe our interests are protected. If something surfaces, if it surfaces factually, then it'll be addressed as a complaint.
And
the Ethics Commission is watching.
And as a matter of edification, when Bruce is going to Miami, that is primarily as a representative for the port for Cruise the West. Cruise the West is a consortium of about 25 different ports along the West Coast that pay a pretty good membership fee every year, talking $6,000 somewhere just for us. Bigger ones, obviously, it's more expensive. If Bruce is doing anything there outside of that, it's just Cruise the West ports that are being represented at Miami. Humboldt Bay, for example, is not a part of Cruise the West. So we're talking apples and oranges.
I just want to make sure that we are avoiding any appearance of impropriety, and that we're
Chairman, I'll call for the question.
Given the fair shake to,
I think in general terms, that some issues have been raised, and this is the answer to those concerns to make sure that all is in order. And that's why I plan on supporting the agreement. Question has been called. All of those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you. This is a time for public comment for non-agenda items. I don't think we have any. So we'll move on to the executive director comments. Will?
I have a number of things here. I'll just hit on some of these real quickly. The first one is we did get approval from Business Oregon to grant the 90-day extension on the electro lease. So we got that done yesterday, a day before the deadline. So Gary and myself will be working closely with Electro in the next 90 days on some of the contract issues. The second item, I do have a meeting set up with Astoria Forest Products tomorrow. I'll be meeting with Chad to review his proposal on some of the changes that they would like to see to their lease. Particularly in the short term, looking at the next 6 months and what that looks like. We have spoke on the phone a couple times, and I think we both have some ideas on how we might make this thing work in the short term as we kind of sort of wait out this tariff situation. I did speak at length with Senator Betsy Johnson on Sunday. It was nice to sort of touch base with her. We talked about a number of different port issues kind of across the board. I would say that in general, she's very supportive of the direction we're going. She was supportive of the strategic plan. And so that was all good news. And it was good to sort of hear that from her and get an understanding that she sort of likes what we're doing here. So the next one is, as most of you know, we have moved as of last week back to the Gateway building at 422. The new tenants upstairs have moved in, Watershed Wellness. When you make one of these moves, you don't realize at the time how much sort of work there is to get something like this done. So it's been a bit crazy. We've done the best we could in terms of communication and contacting vendors and tenants in the community to let them know about the move. That's not to say we may not have missed some. So maybe if that's something the Daily A could pick up over there, that we have indeed moved to 422 Gateway, and that's where we can be reached.
Yeah, I need new business cards.
That would be great. Business cards are another one, I think. We got to get those ordered up.
Pen and ink it.
The December 17th meeting is going to be pretty action-packed. Typically, at this time, 2 weeks before a meeting, I don't have much on the agenda already, but I think for the 17th, we have quite a few things that I think could take some time. The first one is TKW, our audit firm, will be out here. They're going to give their formal presentation on their audit results to the board. So we look forward to seeing them. We also have tentatively set for Fort George's application for the Class of Enterprise Zone tax abatement program is set for approval or to be voted on by the Port of Astoria Commission at that December 17th meeting. So I think Kevin Leahy from Cedar, as well as Melanie Olson from Business Oregon, will be here at the meeting. I'm also hoping that the new Oregon Ports Manager, Stephanie Pribel, will be able to make it out here as well. I think Melanie had said she thought that Stephanie would be available, so it'd be good to get her out here and have give everybody a chance to meet her. Because along with that, Business Oregon will be presenting their results, I guess, on the strategic plan and share with the commission any notes that they have regarding the plan so that we can get that thing completed and get the IGA done between the parties. So it's definitely busy, a lot of stuff going on, but that December 17th meeting is potentially going to be a long one, so be ready.
Okay. Very good.
That conclude your comments?
Yes.
Thank you. Upcoming meeting, as the executive director said, will be December 17th at 4 p.m. The next meeting, January 7th, 2020, will be at 5:30. I'd like to adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Fine job.
Very good.